to test Jesus. "Teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life?" He answered, "What's written in God's law? How do you interpret it?" He said, "That you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself." "Good answer," said Jesus. "Do it, and you will live." Here ends our scripture reading. May we sense God's presence as we seek to understand scripture this morning. Brothers, sisters, friends, the answer that Jesus gave to the question of the religion scholar has become a cornerstone of our Christian faith. Because love is what real life is all about. But let us be honest, in our times, love, unfortunately, has become a loaded word, differently understood and often misinterpreted, leading to disastrous consequences for many. For instance, have you heard about the broken love letter that one young lady wrote to her former fiancé? She wrote, "Dear Jack, how can I ever tell you how sad and unhappy I am since breaking our engagement? Please say you will take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart, so please forgive me. I love you, I love you, I love you so much. I'm yours forever, Marie." Postscriptum: "Congratulations on winning the state lottery." You see, there is love and love. Now, this discussion between Jesus and a religious scholar was actually planned by the Pharisees as an ambush for Jesus, because they were actually trying to expose Jesus as an enemy of Jewish religious laws. And now he was responding to this religion scholar's question about the greatest commandment. Which one of all the many religious laws that he grew up with was the most important of all? Sounds like an innocent question, but there was something behind it. But Jesus was ready, and he gave a surprising answer. He says that you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself. "Do this," said Jesus, "and you will live." Now, why did Jesus say, "Do this"? Love your neighbor as you love yourself, and only then you will live. Maybe because loving has something to do with living. So what does it mean to be alive? Alive, living life to the fullest. The religion scholar was already alive, cannot be denied, physically was alive. But was that all? Was there more to life than just being alive? Is it a possibility that this man was actually missing something in life that he didn't understand? The deeper question, is there an aliveness that goes beyond simply existing? For you see, Jesus taught that new life is possible through the power of love. And he makes it very clear. Love for God, love for our fellow human beings, and love for ourselves. The secret of human existence is found in the triangle of love between us, God, and other people. No one is more alive than when he or she is actually in love. Can you still remember your first experience of being in love? Will I ever forget when that high school sweetheart of mine in 12th grade and I were walking outside Bloemfontein in South Africa, and that warm feeling that you cannot really explain, beside me was a person that I finally can love so much. You've all had moments like that. You can recall moments in your life when you just knew this relation is good. It's from God. It's genuine. Poets and songwriters have employed millions of words and melodies to celebrate the transforming power of love. It's love, it's love, it's love that makes the world go round. Or as a popular song put it some years ago, if you ain't loving, then you ain't living. Poor grammar, but excellent theology. Love is at the center of our lives. The power of love has driven persons to climb mountains, to cross oceans, to start wars, even to give up thrones. Love brings a glow to the face, a twinkle to the eye, a lightness to the step. No other force in this world can do that. Without true love, we begin to die from the inside out. We were made for community. We were made for sharing. We were made for belonging. There is no force in the world that moves and motivates us as does love. Love tells us who we actually are. Love tells us that we belong. Oh, the power of love. It is love that brings us alive. For it is love alone that affects us in heart, soul, strength, and mind. But then, love also demands our all, our emotions as well as our reason. In our times, the term loving God has become inflated, misunderstood, and abused. And most of us certainly do not agree with nor feel attracted to the sickening, sentimental love that are so often demonstrated on many television broadcasts. You should love, love, love enough to open your pocketbook, usually just before an 800 number appears at the bottom of the screen. Folks, call love what you may, but that's not true love. That is sick sentiment. Emotionalism in religion is so often all heat without any light. Jesus teaches a state of being that claims all we are. The Bible says, loving God with all our heart, all our body, all our soul. Think back of when you first fell in love. Remember how certain folks teased you and predicted that you would eventually get over it? Know what? Some people do get over their love. And then calamity begins to strike. Actually, we've got a biblical example. That's exactly what happened when God's people in the church of Ephesus in the first century, Bible says, they stopped loving God. They got over their love for God and their faith. Means they ceased loving Christ and the message of Christ. And when love departed from the church of Ephesus, the Bible says they were a church no more. Building, yeah. Getting together, yeah. Arguing, fighting amongst one another, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's them. But they were a church no more because Jesus Christ was not at the center of their love for God. For one another. Loving is true living. May our church, this church, never, ever outgrow its love for God, for one another, making room for one another. Because when that happens, we will be a church no more. Christian love includes loving even the unlovable. To love us to come alive, love for God, love our neighbors, and a healthy love for ourselves. And we must make this clear in closing. Obviously, we are not talking about a sick, selfish, egotistic self-love. No. But a healthy respect for our own uniqueness as a creation of God is essential to new life. When we realize who we really are on this morning so early in the new year, we can say deep in our hearts, thank God, I am unique. There is no one even close to me. You are my God. You made me unique. I have something deep inside me that urges me to reach out in love because I was made by a loving God. And then I will no longer feel the need to demean or exploit anyone else. When I love myself, when I accept myself, when I believe in myself, then I can also love my neighbor. Then I can respond to the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that is the core of our Christian faith. The table prepared for us with bread and wine tells the story of God's love for us. How did God reveal His love for us? He made it become visible in the suffering and pain of Jesus Christ on a cross outside Jerusalem long ago. It is centuries later. The world has moved on. But we still sing as we do this morning around the table of the Lord. O love that will not let me go. I rest my weary soul in Thee. I give Thee back the life I owe. that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. Amen.